And welcome back to Conscious Fitness Divine Body with Aline Henley, your host that who is explaining and trying to give you a feel of how to get a better understanding about how being a spiritual being in this physical life can be actually a very joyful experience. And to do so tonight, we have a fantastic guest with us. We're going to share with us something that we all go through, and we most of us have some ups and downs to deal with, and what I'm talking about is it's change. The change is really something that we all have to encounter in different times, at personal life, professional life, and either way, Nancy, who is going to be with us tonight, is going to explain to us her vision, how it actually affected her life and how that affected after her vision about how to handle change. So Nancy Christie is with us tonight. Nancy, how are you doing?
I'm doing just great. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very fine, and I'm very, very happy to have you tonight and really talk about this this subject. Really the subject is about the change, and we're going to talk about flexibility of mind and this resistance, sometimes that resistance to change that we all encounter. But can you tell us a little bit more about you for our listener to know you a little bit more?
Well, I'm the author of an inspirational book called The Gifts of Change, and I do workshops. They're called rut-busting workshops, which are focused on helping people get out of ruts that they're in and move forward. You know, many times people want to accomplish certain things, they just can't get towards it, they can't move.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of what my workshops do, is really help them identify the change they want to make and then develop the steps that are going to get them out of their rut and on the path to their goals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've got some different projects. I'm working on a second book right now, and it's along the same lines also,
mm-hmm.
helping people move towards change. So
very
it's,
good.
I'm
so
a very change-focused person.
All right. So you're a very busy lady, obviously, and thank you again for sharing your time with us. And so how did you come up in your life to realize that actually change is really something that is going to affect your life personally?
Well, you know, as most people have, you know, I've been through a series of changes in my life, both personally and professionally, but I would have to say that the one that has really created the biggest impact on me was my mother's illness. In mm-hmm. 1999, she developed cancer, and I was very close to I'm very close with my parents, and this presented me with one of those situations where you're saying, this is the worst thing that could happen. How am I going to deal with this?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to find a way to come to terms with it, because my parents had such a strong faith. They were so positive that it was important for me to be very supportive. At the same time, I had to stop looking at the experience as something that was totally bad. I had to, for my own sake, I had to find something positive in what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as odd as it sounds, there were some positives that came into it. You know, one of the biggest ones was it really strengthened the relationship I had with my parents. Even though we were always close, this made it a different kind of a relationship. Instead
mm-hmm.
of being, you know, parent-child, and even
mm-hmm.
though when you were grown up, your parents still think of you as a child,
mm-hmm.
this brought to me the opportunity to be a support to my parents.
Mm.
And that was very much a blessing. It really helped me deal with the situation, and ultimately when my mother passed, it made me feel that at least I had done something to make her last years, less painful, mm-hmm. better for her, and, mm-hmm. and then ultimately for me as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So you mentioned something very interesting, that there can be actually positive outcome out of a situation that seems to be going into a change. You know, we have this safety feeling of being in our boxes and everything is kind of safe and secure, seems to be. And it can be an illusion, right? Because
mm-hmm.
Everything is changes. We are all changing and we are ever changing on our daily life in every second.
Yeah, you know, people tend to like that whole idea of I've got my life all stable, I've
mm-hmm.
got it safe, but that's really a fallacy. There's
mm-hmm.
always something occurring, and the thing is, too, it's actually better for us if we have the attitude that changes are going to come into our life, and
mm-hmm.
then at the same time tell ourselves we can handle it. Good change,
mm-hmm.
bad change, however we categorize it, we can handle it. We have the strength and we have the support network from the people around us.
Mm-hmm.
So,
definitely.
You know, at the same time, too, we have to believe that whatever kind of change comes, there's going to be something positive, even if the positive is that we have to develop greater strength in ourselves to
mm-hmm.
deal with the outcome of that change.
Mm-hmm. So do you have the feeling that actually this understanding that we have, our collective belief system we have about change, is coming from our parents teaching us that it is safer, that's a truth, that it is safer when things don't change, that's how it is? Or do you think that there's a lack in our education? And it's not only, you know, I'm not talking necessarily about a wider education in terms of the government or anything like that, but only already on the parenthood. Do you think that there's maybe a need for parents to push a little bit or really tell the kids that things are changing and it's okay? It's okay because there is a need for kids in some ways to have a routine to grow up in. And then on the other side, you know, the back of that is that, okay, but you need to still learn that there's a need to be flexible and go with the flow within that routine.
That's true. And, you know, it's interesting if you think about when you're a parent and you have this baby, and this
mm-hmm.
baby is starting to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the first time the child gets up and takes maybe half a step, he falls down.
Mm-hmm.
Parents don't normally say, don't do that again. You're going to
yes.
fall again. You know, we encourage the kids when they're really little, you know, learn
mm-hmm.
how to walk, learn how to feed yourself. But then as they get older, I think we go into that protective mode.
Mm-hmm.
And we want the children to try things, but at the same time, we want them to be safe.
Yes.
So, you know, I think you're right. I think parents need to encourage their children to try things, to explore their potential.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they put too much emphasis on the outcome. So, you, for instance, if a child wants to try to learn to play a musical instrument, and the parent
mm-hmm.
says, okay, fine. And then maybe the child has absolutely no aptitude whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want him to go away from this thinking, I'm a failure.
Mm-hmm.
You want to praise him for trying.
Mm-hmm.
It's the trying that we need to encourage him to do. Whatever the outcome is,
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter. But you're
mm-hmm.
right. Parents need to encourage their children to try more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the change in itself has no emotional reality. This is a change you were mentioning, in your writing, that change is actually neutral in itself.
Right.
But it really is this emotional pattern that we put behind it that makes it either positive or negative, right?
Exactly. I mean, we tend to categorize things as this was a good change, this was a bad change. You know, you
mm-hmm.
you win the lottery, that's a good change. You get
mm-hmm.
an audit by the IRS, that's a bad change.
Mm-hmm.
But there's really no emotion attached to it. Mm-hmm. Changes, it's just a neutral. It is just a thing that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
What's more important is how are we responding to it? It's
mm-hmm.
our own response to that change that then defines it as a good thing or a bad thing. And that's
mm-hmm.
a very limited perspective on change.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And this positive and negative like image that we can see, is it something that, I mean, I remember one of my students telling me, well, you know, you're pretty upbeat and positive and almost sometimes, you know, to the extreme. Like, yeah, it's everything is all great and good and in a perfect universal order. But, you know, that's your personality. This is not me. So is there a possibility for people to actually change their personality or what they think is their personality in a way of thinking, that maybe it is possible to change the way we see the change?
Definitely. I mean, you can't completely change, and using the word again, you can't completely change your personality, but what you can do is listen to what you're saying to yourself in your head.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there's a lot of conversation going on just inside your own brain.
Mm-hmm.
And if you consistently look at things from a very negative standpoint, or
mm-hmm.
if when you're facing a change, you say, oh, I can't do that. I know I'm not going to be able to. Those are the kind of things that you need to shift your thought patterns. You need
mm-hmm.
to look at things, first of all, from the standpoint of, I'm going to do the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it my best shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it doesn't turn out well, instead of saying, well, how stupid of me, and I'm such a failure, look at it and say, okay, what can I learn from this? And it,
mm-hmm.
you might learn that you were just no good at doing that particular thing, but change always brings with it something to learn, and
mm-hmm.
education is valuable, especially when it's education about yourself.
Definitely. Definitely. So the very reason why we human beings have a tendency to resist to change, this resistance to change, come from different roots, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you have a kind of a list that eventually we can give to our listeners and they can see if something fit with wherever they are and they can actually identify maybe the fear that is tied to what they experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, one of the biggest things, and it all comes back to fear. I mean,
mm-hmm.
whenever we're looking at change, it all comes back to fear. That's why
mm-hmm.
we resist it. I think one of the most common ones are that we're afraid that we're not up to it. You know,
mm-hmm.
whether it's an opportunity for promotion at work or relationship or, on the flip side, a health problem,
mm-hmm.
the first thing we think is, I can't do this. I just
mm-hmm.
can't. I know I can't do this. And, you know, that's that fear, that's that lack of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing that we worry about is, well, if I do this, if I undertake this challenge, if I make this change, then other people aren't going to like me because I'm going to change a little bit. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be the same person they know, and they're not going to like me, and then what am I going to do? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's another fear that we have. A couple of the other ones, for one thing, is, you know, it's like anything else. It's that whole concept of raising the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to take on this challenge, and
mm-hmm.
now I've succeeded at it. Now people are going to expect more from me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a third kind of a fear, but they all come back to fear.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely. That is really the motto behind that freezing mode that change brings. So is there any tool on a daily basis or, you know, that people can actually start to work on personally that can kind of open up that fear and let it get out slowly? I mean, obviously people won't change from one day to the other.
Mm-hmm.
But there's you know, different methods or techniques maybe that they can use to open up to it and actually release the fear that is tied to it.
Well, I think one of the things that would be most helpful is if they look back at other times in their life
mm-hmm.
when they were faced with a challenge
mm-hmm.
and they undertook the challenge, no matter what the outcome was, whether it worked out the way they wanted or not. But the thing is to look at it and say, you know, it didn't kill me. I was able to do it. I found the strength in myself. So if you find it once, you can find it a second time.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, there's a lot of times in my own life when I'm taking on a new challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have those thoughts running through your mind, is this a good thing to do? What if it doesn't turn out?
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I try to do is remind myself, there's always, no matter what we have done in our life, from when we took those first steps as a child, there's always the new part. It's the first time for something, and we get through it. We get
mm-hmm.
through it. Sometimes we get through it better than we thought we could,
mm-hmm.
and we need to remind ourselves that if we did it once, we can do it again.
Correct. Definitely. And the experience is really, you know, what proves yes and show us and that, like you said, that it's possible. The other thing that comes to my mind when you were mentioning that is that if I take my personal experience when I came from France to come to United States, I had that feeling that the change was necessary, that it was going to be good because it was this energy that was pulling me from within, and then I had an outside fear that was surrounding me from the people who didn't want me to leave.
Yeah.
So how can, you know, people, because that is as well a difficult situation when you feel that you should do something, that it feels good for you to do something, but then you have this brouhaha, this words coming behind you. It's like, no, don't do it. It's, you know, where, you know, those people were projecting their own fears onto me, which I totally understood. But there is this battle within. It's like, okay, but maybe they see something I don't see. But I feel good within. Yeah, but there's so many out there telling me not to do it.
Yeah.
So there is a projection as well sometimes of outside fear.
Mm-hmm.
Within your own change.
You know, that's true, and it's a difficult thing to deal with because many times those people they care about you. They're
mm-hmm.
not, you know, they're not necessarily trying to hold you back because they want to punish you or they want you to fail, but they care about you
mm-hmm.
or they may be worried how this is going to affect the relationship you have with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to balance your need for making the change
mm-hmm.
with someone else's discomfort that's going to be generated by this. It's a very difficult thing to do because, you know, we don't like to make people unhappy. We don't like to worry other people. But
mm-hmm.
when you feel very strongly that you need to do something, then the best thing you can do is reassure the other people that
mm-hmm.
this is good for me, and if it's going to make me a better person, then it's going to make our relationship better. You know, it, sometimes you almost have to disengage from them a little, kind
mm-hmm.
of block out what they're saying, because
mm-hmm.
if they have a lot of influence over you, it can hold you back.
Definitely.
And you have to think, too, what has been their behavior when it comes
mm-hmm.
to change. If these are people who are very resistant to change,
mm-hmm.
then they're not the best people to be giving you advice.
Yes, definitely. So the change, the way what I understood is that really this is, we are in a search for some type of security, some type of safety, and we have believed that the safety was not going to be found within the change, and that's one needs to be actually overcome,
mm-hmm.
because change doesn't have anything to do with not being safe or not being unpredictable. There is some unpredictability, but it is really this okay thing about change that needs to be download within us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's true. And the thing we need to remember, too, you know, when we talk about being safe and secure, you know, you kind of envision being in this little cocoon and you're all curled up and no one can get to you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, if you look at it from, say, a physical perspective,
mm-hmm.
if you stayed all curled up in this little cocoon day in and day out, your muscles are going to become very weak. Your body's
mm-hmm.
actually going to suffer damage from mm-hmm. not moving, from not stretching, from
mm-hmm.
not exerting itself.
Totally.
And the same thing happens psychologically when we hold ourselves in and we don't try anything new, we don't try to stretch our change muscle, our ability
mm-hmm.
to do things. When a change occurs, we are so much less prepared for it. We're it's so much harder for us to deal with it because we haven't been building up our abilities all along.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good analogy. That's true. It does make so much sense. So let's practice it. That's true.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
it makes it better, and you're right. Yeah. I mean, we don't want to go to a place where, you know, everything is ever, like, changing so fast that there's no the ability to actually live within the new change is not possible. But there's, you're right, there's really this balance between accepting it by practicing it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
And
so,
you know, it's really such a misconception that there's any safety anywhere.
Yes.
I mean, you know, to some extent, you people years ago talked about job security. Not too many
mm-hmm.
people talk about that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, health problems can come up out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
you know, natural disasters. So it's really doing yourself a disservice to think you're going to hit that magical safe place where you're never going to have to change,
mm-hmm.
because
definitely.
Change is going to find you.
Yes.
You can hide, but it'll find you.
So one thing that I personally experienced in my learning on how to be more flexible with things, you know, events that were coming to me and that I was somewhere creating. And it is really this faith in something that I believe in a universal order. I believe that whatever I'm experiencing is brought to me for my highest good, even though I don't necessarily understand what it is about right there. But I have to trust and have the faith that somehow there's the light that is going to come out of it. So is that a way that you would recommend someone to actually start to really open up to that, to change and seeing it as a positive thing?
Oh, absolutely. My mother had a saying. She would always say, whatever happens, happens for a reason. So, you know, and especially, you know, when you were trying to do something and it didn't work out, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would call my mother and, oh, it didn't work. And she said, whatever happens, it happened for a reason. There's
mm-hmm.
a reason. I think it will be so much better if we believe that things are not randomly happening.
Yes.
But when they come into your life, there is a reason. And like you said, we don't necessarily see the reason now.
Yes.
Sometimes we won't see it till several years later.
Yes.
But we have to believe that if it's occurring, whatever it is, whether it's something we wanted, something we didn't want,
mm-hmm.
there is a reason why. There,
yes.
There's a belief there that it's part of the overall pattern of our life. And
mm-hmm.
so we need to look at that, and we need to be as positive about it as we can.
Yes. So we are challenged, you know, as human beings living in, especially in our Western societies, where we've been, you know, told that competition, you know, you need to be the best, there's a high expectations, and so we are within that configuration of you need to be in control if you want your life to be just the way you want it. Where I have realized that actually being in true control was really surrendering to this higher power that, you know, who is actually putting in agreement with myself, you know, the right situation with the right people at the right time to make me experience something that I really want to experience on my, you know, soul purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that, you know, when we have this tendency to really want to be in control, this is actually where we're actually going to learn that we are not that much in control?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because we cannot control everything that's going to happen. We
mm-hmm.
can generally control how we're responding to something or how much we're trying,
mm-hmm.
but we can't control the outcome. We certainly can't control what other people, how they're going to respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole idea that, you know, if I do X, Y, Z, this is definitely going to happen. Not
mm-hmm.
necessarily. You can do X, Y, Z, and nothing's going to happen the way you thought.
Correct.
So, you know, that's the first thing. And you had mentioned, too, about the competition. I mean, yes, we should always be striving to be better. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, I think it's very damaging to always be comparing yourself to someone else. Because...
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it, there's always someone who's going to be smarter, richer,
mm-hmm.
thinner, healthier,
mm-hmm.
more successful than you are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be people who aren't all those
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
What we should always use as a measuring stick is, who am I today compared to who I was yesterday? We should
mm-hmm.
only measure against ourselves,
yes.
not against other people.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, that brings up this point that is really dear to me, is that this self-discovery that I believe is really the path to self-empowerment is actually where lies the key to be, agree, and accept change. Because the more we know ourselves, the way we were yesterday, then the more we can understand who we are today, and then the more we are able to define who we want to be tomorrow, and then the change are going to occur, but towards the direction that we have defined because we know ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So where is this, or is it for you something that makes sense? And if it does, where is this self-discovery occur for you, or, you know, like, takes place in your work with your workshop?
Well, you know, you're right about the whole pattern it needs to be. I think the first thing is when you're engaged in self-discovery
mm-hmm.
and you're looking at who you were yesterday,
mm-hmm.
to notice that you aren't the same person. I think sometimes we tend to define ourselves by whoever we were in the past, or whatever we have done up till now,
mm-hmm.
instead of saying, okay, I'm going to keep evolving.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think the very first thing we need to do is recognize that over a period of however many years we were on this earth, we are constantly changing, hopefully for the better. We're constantly gaining new skills,
mm-hmm.
new ways of interacting with people, changing our goals. I'm sure that I am not the same person that I was 20 years ago. My
mm-hmm.
goals have changed. I would hope that I'm a better person, that I have developed more abilities. And I think, you know, I think anybody who is open to learning and
mm-hmm.
to experiencing things is going to see that pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and that's part of it, is to try and identify those stages that we have gone through that have brought us from where we were so many years ago to where
mm-hmm.
we are today, as an
mm-hmm.
indication that we can continue to evolve.
Definitely. Very, very good. Yeah, that's true. And so here we are, like about 30 minutes already within, you know, into the show, and I think that our listeners are now really getting a better understanding of you know, how to actually open up to change and actually accept it. But I know that you have a lot of little gifts on your website where you have tips and activity tips that you can give them. So tell us a little bit more about those tips that you can actually offer to our listeners for them to be able to move through?
Well, one of the first things that I put together, since people do have a tendency to resist changes, I have some rut-busting activities that will help them bring change into their life.
Okay.
And these are very simple, very easy, very focused on fun. And, you know, if any of your listeners would like to have a copy of this, they can email me and I'll be happy to send it along to them. But they're, just to give you an idea what a couple of them are, you know, to encourage somebody to just explore their senses. You know, we tend to not know really how well our body reacts to things.
Yes.
So, you know, I encourage people, you know, explore your sense of touch, your sense of hearing, your sense of taste. Try new things. Try to, instead of automatically saying, oh, I couldn't do that, or I'm too old for that, go ahead and try it.
Mm-hmm.
And all these little activities, they're just designed to shake up your routine a little bit and make you aware of what, you know, what the possibilities are.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, you know, everybody is very much into sharing. I know when I do my workshops, I think that's one of the things people like best is sharing with the other people in the workshop. So I have a blog on my communityofchange.com site where I post some tips and some concepts on change for that particular month.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage people to blog, you know, to put their comments on the blog and share with us, well, what change have you gone through, or what are you having difficulty with?
That's brilliant.
Well, you know, it's important to feel like, for one thing, you're not the only person. When you're going through a change, you feel like I'm the only one who's experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
you're not. And when you say, you know, gee, I lost my job, I don't know what I'm going to do, trust me, there's people who are going to write in and say, I was in the same place a year ago. Try this or try that.
Yes. And I think you're right, like putting, like what you've done and putting, and we're going to definitely give our listeners the address to get to it, but when you put together this communityofchange.com website, it actually brings people together where people need support, and that's a great support system, knowing that, yeah, you have this feeling that, Where am I? I'm lost, and you know, where do I go from there? And knowing that there's actually support systems out there, like the one that you created, to said, okay, you're not alone. Connect there, meet with us, and you'll get some answers, and you get some surrounding. And that is actually bringing people, you know, energies back in people. That's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And what's interesting too is, if you're one of the people who is offering the support, it really makes you stop and think about where you were, say, a year ago, and you're thinking, wow, I've really gotten stronger, or you know, I didn't think I could make it through that, and I did, and now I've got some advice. So it starts changing how you're thinking of your past. You know, again, it's a very positive way of looking at the different experiences that you've had.
That's so true. And so you talk about rut busting, and so you have a workshop series about that.
Yes, my rut busting workshop. It's there's a whole series that I do. Some of them, I've got one in particular I do in January to kind of get people ready for the new year to make goals.
Mm.
But you know, the biggest thing is everybody's in some kind of a rut. You know, I've kind of defined from doing these workshops, from studying the whole concept, that there's really two kinds of ruts. You're either going to be in a comfort rut, or you're going to be in an overload rut. You've got to figure out which rut you're in before you can get out of it. And that's, for many people, that's a real challenge, because they don't think of it as a rut. They think of it as, that's just the way my life is. But what they don't realize is it doesn't have to be that way. If you know, if it's not working for you, or if you feel a little closed in, then you need to figure out what's the problem, because you can't come up with a solution if you don't know what exactly the problem is.
Definitely. The when you talk about these roots, and you were talking about the overload route, you mentioned something about learning how to say no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the overload rut, that's a very high-stress one. And I think that women tend to get into that overload rut very easily because we want to be able to help everybody.
Yes.
We don't want to ever tell somebody no. So if somebody needs something, we're right there. We're going to help them.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is we take on more responsibilities and obligations than are actually safe for us. I mean, it is hard on us physically. It's hard on us emotionally. So, you know, that's the first problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't leave us any time to develop our own goals and work towards our own, whatever it is we want to accomplish with our life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, saying no, which is very, very hard for many people, is really the first step, you know, because when you say no to something, you've now created this, maybe it's only a 10-minute window, but in that 10-minute window, that's time that you got for yourself now to work on what's important to you. And that's really the very first step in getting out of an overload rut, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are in an overload rut, they usually say, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. And that means and that's bad for you. It's certainly a terrible thing for your body.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
But when you're that tired, it's time to let go of things.
Yes. On an energetic level, you know, the resistance to change and this overload creates an energetic stagnation and limit the energetic flow coming through within the body, and usually it creates a physical and emotional tiredness, and your body is actually will tell you, if you take the time to listen to your body, it will tell you, stop here, take a break, breathe, do yoga, go for a walk, go swim. But there's something to get back the energy in, because there was a leakage somewhere of energy. You're right. Definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like they say, if you don't take the time to take care of your body, your body's going to shut down. It's going to make you take that time. One way or the other, it's going to make you stop. And always better if you have the choice.
Yes, you're right. You're right. And it's, it is, choices is actually, that's a scary thought as well for a lot of people, you know, when having choices like, oh, so something, you know, needs to happen. That implies as well that there's going to be either a change or something is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so those changes and choices are somehow very, very closely linked.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think when we're talking about choices, I think one of the things, too, is we're changing our perception of change itself, is that there's a right choice and a wrong choice. If you've thought things through and you're looking at two alternatives, they could actually both be the right choice.
Yes.
It just depends.
Yes.
And one of the most valuable things that I learned years ago from a wonderful author, Susan Jeffers, was that, you know, if you make a choice and it doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world. It just means you get to make another choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to run into a door that's never going to open. It's just, okay, it didn't turn out. Now I'll do something. I'll make another choice and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way you have to look at it, not, oh, if I make the wrong choice, that's it. I'm done. I won't ever get another chance again.
Yes.
There's always another chance.
It isn't always going to be one, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something with change that I personally believe is that, because I believe in the power of intention, whether it is conscious or not, but I truly believe that intention actually attracts change.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you put, consciously or not, your intention into doing something, then obviously the energy is going to be attracted to it, and just, you know, reorganizing, and things are, you're going to leave and experience things to go towards that new goal. So is there in, you know, like you are working towards making sure that we work towards goal and identifying personal goals. And I think that is very important in that very matter, because to me, identifying goals is actually, you know, similar as putting an intention in doing something. Mm-hmm. But the problem comes as well when somehow this is something where, that we have the feeling that it's happening to us. Mm-hmm. And so that's when it comes on an unconscious level.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when we do have those, in quote, things coming to us or happening to us, then is there a time to breathe and said, okay, if I believe that I have somehow attracted that to me and that I'm not obviously aware of it because I'm kind of surprised, then there's something about myself that I need to rediscover or unveil. And
exactly.
Then okay. And we stepped more into the self-discovery again then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because especially if you're the kind of person who says things like, boy, this always happens to me.
Uh-huh.
Things never turn out the way I want. Well,
mm-hmm.
you know, again, a lot of that can be your own behavior, whether you're aware of it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Things can be happening to you consistently because you didn't learn the first time. You didn't learn what you were supposed to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't understand how your own behavior set up that experience. So,
mm-hmm.
for instance, in the work environment, if you say, you know, I've asked 10 times for a raise and they always tell me no,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, maybe what you need to do is instead of saying, oh, poor me, it always happens to me, look at, well, what could I do differently? Is there something I should be doing differently? Is it my attitude? Is it
mm-hmm.
is it my work behavior?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes there are things that if we make a small shift in how we're behaving or how we're thinking,
mm-hmm.
then everything else kind of shifts to accommodate that. It's
mm-hmm.
it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're absolutely right about the whole concept of an intention. I don't think it's sufficient for us to sit here and for instance, say, I'm going to think very strongly that
you're
I'm going to be a
right.
millionaire. No, you've got to back it up with
Correct.
Action.
Correct.
But at the same time, you need to know exactly what it
mm-hmm.
is you want and why you
yes.
want it. Otherwise, you're just kind of working in the dark.
Yes. Yes. I tell my students that, you know, it's either you want to be a pilot or you want to be the passenger. And it's you know, you can be either way if you want at a different time of your life, but you need to realize that when things seem not to happen the way you want or things happening to you than you didn't expect, then you most likely have been on either autopilot mode or as a passenger and you're just, you know, enjoying the ride. But then if you really want to start to be like the one who's living things, experiencing things from a point of view of, okay, well, yeah, that's exciting. I knew it was coming because I wanted that to happen. Then suddenly your life takes another turn and,
mm-hmm.
you know, expand greatly.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that analogy, you know, are you the pilot or are you the passenger? You're right.
Yeah, definitely. So how important is to have a support system around to actually learn all those tips and actually really expand the consciousness to accept and live with a positive attitude with change?
I think we absolutely have to have a good support system. It's something that, you know, even though we're the ones who are going to be doing the work, it is
mm-hmm.
invaluable to have people there that are going to advise you, encourage you. I call them a change team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I when I looked at it, because, you know, I looked a lot of the things that I write about and teach about really came out of experiences that I had. And, you know, one of the things I realized is if you have a solid change team, you've got three kinds of people in
mm-hmm.
that team. the first one are going to be the encouragers. Those are like the mothers in the group. Those are the ones that are always going to tell you, you're good, you can do this, you know, I know you can do it. And that's important. We want to hear people like that who are constantly going to be patting us on the back and saying, I believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we need some challengers there. These are the people, I like to call them the cattle prods.
Mm-hmm.
So when we start hitting that little mode where we're saying, oh, you know, if it's not going to work, I'm not going to be able to do this for this, that, or the other reason, they're going to challenge you. They're going to kind of make you stop making excuses. We're very good, I think, at coming up with excuses why we can't do what it is we should be doing or we want
to do. That's correct.
And yes, the challengers are the ones that are going to say, you're telling me you can't be successful in your own business. There's a lot of people who are successful.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing to make the success happen for you? So
mm-hmm.
they're going to push you a little bit. And I think the third most valuable member are the expert sources. These are people, they're like, say you're in business, they're going to be your accountant, they're going to be your lawyer. If it's a health problem, they're the doctor. They're
mm-hmm.
the people who have a specialized knowledge, and they're going to give you that knowledge. It's up to you what you do with it.
Yes.
But these are the people, because there's always somebody who knows a little more than you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, take advantage of that. Learn from them and be open. Don't just assume you've got all the answers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, what is, give us a little list maybe of some type of people that you actually give away. I know that you have a newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
So how, again, we're going to enjoy the time to give your website on. It's www.communityofchange.com in just one big word. And so they can find your newsletter. What can they find in that to support them?
Well, one of the biggest part of the newsletter is whatever the topic of changes I'm dealing with at that time. For instance,
mm-hmm.
In this month's newsletter, I'm talking about the whole idea about setting goals, about preparing yourself for the next achievement that you want to go after. Because, you know, June is traditionally the month of people graduating and looking at the next stage in their life. The problem is, as we get older, we stop doing that. We just kind of want to stay where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
So every month I email out a newsletter, and it'll cover the topic of the month, and it's always a change-related topic. And
mm-hmm.
then from the newsletter, they can go to the Make a Change blog, and that's where I give them the actual tips or some suggestions or some questions to ask themselves that tie into that topic. You know, where are you at in terms of goal setting, for instance, this month? You know, do you have any goals? Have you given up on goals?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's probably, a good place for them to start is with the Changeogram newsletter and then the Make a Change page, because those two will give them, if nothing else, something to think about that month. Something
mm-hmm. yes.
to, you know, to consider, maybe I need to make this, make a goals list, or maybe I need to consider certain aspects of change in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's one of the things that, that I do to kind of help people keep moving along, because, you know, it's not just, well, in January we're going to do our New Year's resolution and then not think about it for 11 months.
Yes.
You know, we need to be constantly measuring and saying, okay, am I on the right path? Am I moving toward my goals? And
mm-hmm.
doing it once a year is just not going to be enough.
You're right. You're right. And so there's other things that you can find on the Community of Change site, which I think are super fun, which are your Change Challenge and the Success Set certificates.
Oh, yeah. I came up with this idea I have a grandson, he's 9 years old now,
uh-huh.
and he would get so excited when the teacher would send them home with those little certificates, oh, you got 100% on your spelling test.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking, you know, as grown-ups, we don't have that anymore.
You're
so
right.
What I did was I made up two certificates. You can go to the site and download them. The change challenge is the one you start with, and that's where you say for the next 30 days, this is the change I'm going to work toward. And it can mm-hmm. be, it can be any kind of change. It can be health change, whatever. And mm-hmm. you fill this out, and I always tell my students, put it on your refrigerator. You know, traditionally, mm-hmm. the refrigerator is where these things go.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also going to see it every day. It's sort of a visual reminder.
Definitely.
You know, and I think we need that. The success certificate is what you then print out at the end of the 30 days.
Okay.
And you say, wow, I did this. You know, I committed to making this change, and for mm-hmm. 30 days I gave it my best shot.
Definitely.
And, you know, it sounds a little silly. It sounds a little hokey, but it's, again, a way to remind ourselves that we are capable of more than what we thought. And
isn't
that's
it? And sorry to cut you, but I think it really is actually vibrating with our inner child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that it's kind of the fun thing. It's like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I remember when I was doing that back at school. Or it's just like, that's kind of a fun thing because we are taking ourselves even too seriously sometimes and within the change. And I think that is bringing really this inner child energy out. And I think it's brilliant.
Well, and the thing is, when you think about children, especially really young children, they are going through, they're learning constantly. They're constantly challenging themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, learning to read, learning to spell, and they get so excited. Every
yes.
little thing they accomplish, they're so excited. You're right. We need to bring that childlike enthusiasm and energy
yes. mm-hmm.
into our adult life and wake up in the morning and say, wow, what can I do today? Instead of, oh boy, another day, you know.
Uh-huh, definitely.
What a terrible way to wake up and face
isn't
life.
Yeah. So, and to obviously experience even more change, I understood that you are going to have your own radio show and that is coming up in August on voiceamerica.com, and congratulations on that. So everyone will be able to get to you and hear your great advice and support. So you're going to be everywhere on writing, on radio. We're going to be hearing your voice and enjoying all of your great vision about it. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, that's a huge change for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly, and this is an excellent example of how things can come into your life that you weren't expecting, but
mm-hmm.
when you look at him, it's like, oh, that does fit. It had never been, you know, I'm a writer. This
mm-hmm.
is what I do for a living. And, you know, as a writer, you tend to be kind of isolated.
Yeah.
And when my book came out, you know, my first book came out, The Gifts of Change, of course, you don't get your book out in front of people by staying in your own house. So, you
yes.
know, I had to really shift my behavior. I had to challenge myself, go
mm-hmm.
out, meet strangers, talk to people, do interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, initially, it was like the worst experience in the world. I was absolutely paralyzed with fear.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is, and I'm sure you've realized this from what you do, it is such a wonderful opportunity to meet people. It's wonderful. It's a blessing. I have
yes.
met the nicest people in the world.
Yes.
And,
yes.
you know, from that, it evolved into doing, you know, interviews on shows like yours. And
mm-hmm.
and then Voice America approached me, and they said, you know, would you like to host a show?
Oh, that's brilliant.
And
congratulations.
And the exciting part is really going to be the guest list. I mean, I want to get the absolute best people on this show that are going
mm-hmm.
to, the show is called Take Charge of Your Life, because I believe we are responsible. It's our
mm-hmm.
duty. We can't expect someone else to make the changes or fix things. But what I do want to do is bring experts on who are going to help us learn how to take charge of different areas of our life, from our health to our finances to our relationships,
mm-hmm.
so that we can be the people we are supposed to be.
Definitely. And I think that's the point. It's really this taking charge, getting responsible, and really claiming back our own power to experience it in our full potential. I think that's exactly where we stand right now. The consciousness right now, it's exactly where it is. Knowing that the uniqueness that we all have and being able to experience things in our physicality, it's just the bottom line of, you know, our very reason to be here. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things in your hand. You're going to be a busy lady, even more than you are.
I know. But, you know,
and then on top of that, because one book was not enough, there's a second one coming.
Well, you know, you can't stop a writer from writing.
That's true.
That's all it amounts to. But yes, I'm working on my second book. It's got a working title of "Say Yes for a Change,"
uh-huh.
and again, it's really focused on encouraging people to approach change from a very positive perspective.
Very good.
You know, it's my goal to try to get everybody to be more encouraging and more positive about making changes, to look at it as something that's bringing good into their life.
Well, thank you so much for all your energy and your vision and your positivism, because I think that we all stand, you know, in front of that door with this potential of opening it and seeing the greatness of whatever we can do with our life, and we need people like you to show us that we can open the door, and it's not frightening behind, and it's actually really, really fun. And so people can find you again on www.communityofchange.com. They can email you at nancy@communityofchange.com and find all of your seminar, workshop, you know, and every single information about you and what you're doing and where we can find you, everything about your show. Obviously, that is starting August the 5th, I guess, yes,
mm-hmm.
on Eastern Time, 11 o'clock Eastern Time, and so we'll be connecting to that, definitely. We'll be pulling you up. And again, I thank you so much, Nancy, for sharing your precious time with us, and I'm sure our listeners were delighted to hear all your great tips and advice, and that's going to, you know, move them, help them move along and through whatever they are going through right now. So on this little note, then I'm looking forward to have you back sometimes and share your second book soon with us. And thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome, Nancy. Listeners, thank you so much for spending your time with us. Another hour of Conscious Fitness, Divine Body gone, like it's not possible. It's already been 55 minutes. But yes, it was. It was a lot of fun, and it was all for you. And obviously, I learned a lot in the process, too, so I feel totally grateful for it. And then don't forget to come back next week, same time, 7 p.m. Pacific time, on BBS Radio, Conscious Fitness, Divine Body. Will be having even, you know, another type of guest with great vision also to help you support your physical experience as a spiritual being down here. You have a great evening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Can I fly away back to yesterday? Somewhere in my heart we'll never be apart. Every time I try